As you know, it has been a wonderful, wonderful day. We appreciate everyone who stayed for the fellowship meal and all the food that was prepared. As you know, there was a lot of food, and it certainly was good. I've always enjoyed fellowship meals. Food's a blessing, and I just enjoy those times where we can stay and have a meal and talk. And you'll notice as the congregation usually departs after services, we spend a lot of time talking, and I believe that is always a good thing. It's healthy for a congregation to have that interaction, and so we are thankful to be able to do things that will bring us closer and closer, not only to God, but to one another. Most of us at some point in the day probably listen to the news. Maybe we'll catch a little news as we're making our way to work. Or maybe when we get home, we'll sit down and catch the evening news. Most of the time, if not all of the time, what we hear on the news is pretty negative. We might refer to it as bad news. As you listen to the news, you hear about all of the turmoil that is going on in the world. We hear about individuals being murdered, being robbed, being kidnapped. You read about families going to different parts of the world for vacation, and something bad happens to them. We hear about all of the different nations that are in turmoil. We're always hearing about how bad the economy is. And tonight, right before services, I did a little experiment. I turned on the news, and I started with Fox News, and then I turned to ABC News, and then I turned over to the CBS News, and they pretty much said all of the same thing, and I concluded it was all pretty negative. I did conclude that it seemed like the liberal stations had a lot against the President of the United States, but I guess that's pretty common in our news. And so we would probably all agree that the world's news is filled with demoralizing stories. You know, a lot of times when we listen to the news, we don't leave uplifted. Usually when we listen to the news, we turn it off because we might be angry at what we hear. We may be angry at what is going on, at how people are acting, things that people are doing. We sometimes leave frustrated. We don't leave uplifted and encouraged. And so most of the news really that we hear going on in the world today is discouraging. And all you have to do is, as I said, catch a little news. I like listening to a little news in the morning. Usually when I turn on my internet, I will catch up with the world's news. I want to know to some degree what is going on in our world. And so all of us spend some time throughout the day listening to the news. But when we listen to the news, we get a pretty good idea. We get a picture of what is going on in our world today. And I believe we would also conclude that the news of our day reminds us of our adversary and how he is doing a marvelous job blinding people from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll note those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. That is what the devil is trying to do. He is trying to blind this world from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But what we find encouraging tonight, as we open up the Word of God, we are hearing good news. As I think about this idea of good news, it reminds me of a story that we actually read about in the Old Testament. And the story is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 7. This story centers around four lepers. And remember, the Syrians were fighting against the Israelites. There was a great famine. And these four lepers were sitting there about to die. And they decided, you know what? If we just sit here, we're going to die. Let's turn ourselves over to the Syrians. Perhaps they'll let us live. Perhaps we will get a meal out of this and they'll spare our life. And so they arose and they went into the camp of the Syrians, and guess what? They're not there. That is, the Syrians aren't there. They had been scattered. And when you read that story, we see that God intervened. And as you read that story, these four lepers, they began to eat. And they began to take the spoil that was in the camp. And then they came, we might say, to their senses. Wait a minute. And in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 9, the four lepers said this: "This is a day of good news. Let us go and tell the Israelites." This is a day of good news. And I hope all of us could say that tonight. We heard the gospel of Christ this morning. We heard a lesson from Psalm 86 that should help us in our prayer life. And tonight we are focusing on the good news of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ contains good news. When you consider the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," I want you to just stop and think about the nature of the gospel. You go and preach the gospel, literally the euangelion. That Greek word literally means good news. You see, we have marching orders to go into all the world and to share the good news. As I pointed out, we see that the world is filled with bad news. What people need to hear is the good news of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is filled with good news. Now as we think about the good news, this statement might seem contradictory, but there's truth to it. As you think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which entails good news, we see in fact that the gospel, the good news, the euangelion, listen to it, entails some bad news. But it's the bad news that makes the gospel such good news. But what is the bad news you're talking about that we find in the good news, the gospel? Well, the bad news is seen throughout the Bible, which teaches us, Romans 3, verse 23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, that's the bad news. And again, it centers around sin's entrance into this world. And sin is something that all accountable people struggle with. That's the idea Paul is making. All have sinned. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 29, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions." In fact, Solomon says, "There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." That doeth good and sinneth not. That's the bad news. We all struggle because of sin. The bad news is that because of sin, we have separated ourselves from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Because of sin, Psalm 7, verse 11, we are an enemy of God. Again, because of sin, we subjugate ourselves to God's holy wrath. God's holy wrath. God's righteous vengeance is against those who have sinned. Again, that is the bad news, but it's the bad news that makes the gospel such good news. And let me show you what I'm talking about. If you were, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 reveals the elements, if you please, of the good news. And as you're turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you remember in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul would go into the city of Corinth and he would preach the gospel. In Acts 18 verse 8, the Bible says the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 teaches us what they heard. What did they hear? They heard the gospel. They heard the good news. But notice the elements of the good news recorded here in 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm just going to begin at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the euangelion, the good news, which I preached unto you, which you have received and wherein you stand, by which also are you saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul is reminding them of the power of the gospel, the power of the good news that entails some bad news. That bad news is we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But notice what the good news entails beginning at verse number 3. Paul says in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Again, the good news reveals, number one, how Christ died for our sins. How He paid the price for our sins. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, the Bible says He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In Galatians 1 verse 4, the Bible says that He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 verse number 26, He appeared, that is Christ appeared, to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of Himself. Again, by the sacrifice of Himself. The good news reveals how Jesus Christ paid the price for sin. The wages, you remember Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And that's what Jesus paid on the cross. He paid the debt. The debt that I could not pay. He paid it. He paid it in full by dying on the cross for our sins, that He might bring us to God, so that we can escape, again, the wrath of God. But the gospel also reveals not only how Christ died for our sins, but number 2 from verse 4, how Christ was buried. And number 3, how He rose again. And really what you have is a picture of salvation, a picture of conversion. Because when a person obeys the gospel, the good news, the euangelion, they reenact the death, the burial, and resurrection. And so how would we summarize the good news that we're talking about? The good news that we are to herald to a lost and dying world by saying this: God can take those who are dead in sin and make them alive through Christ Jesus. Think about that. God can take those who are dead in their sins and make them alive. And you see that beautiful thought of what we're reading about here in 1 Corinthians 15 and Acts 18 verse 8 with the Corinthians when they were baptized. But that idea, that truth of God taking someone who was dead in sin and making them alive is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. And you'll see the bad news. What's the bad news of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10? We've all walked according to the course of this world. We have all made ourselves the children of wrath because of our disobedience to God. Listen to what Paul says in verse 3, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And Paul included himself. If we are a New Testament Christian, then we are right there with the Apostle Paul. But God, verse number 4 of Ephesians 2, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, for by grace you are saved. And so Paul then talks about how God can take those who are dead and make them alive through Jesus Christ. And listen, the same power that raises us from the deadness of sin, Ephesians 1 verse number 19, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which is a part of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we come together as the people of God, there is a sense where we can offset the bad news that's going on in the world by opening the good news, by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might also say that the good news outweighs the bad news. Now, we've talked about the bad news, but the gospel, the good news, outweighs the bad news. You'll see that idea in Romans 5, verse number 20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the Apostle Paul talks about the grace of God in the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul talks about the grace of God in the book of Ephesians. The Paul talks about the grace of God in the book of Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation, Paul says, Titus 2:11, has appeared unto all men. Paul isn't teaching universal salvation, is he? Paul is making a point about the grace of God. The grace of God is the source of our salvation. And as you stop and think about the grace of God, it really reveals God's riches at Christ's expense. That's how I would explain the grace of God. It centers around our salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And salvation is appeared to every person. It's been made available to every person. And so grace is the source of our salvation. And the grace of God that is the source of our salvation is instructive in nature. Just read Titus 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Listen to the next verse. Teaching us. Grace teaches us how to be saved. And so again, the good news outweighs the bad news. And I'm thankful that we can open up the good news. I'm thankful that we can open up the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to encourage us. Now, as we think about the good news, I'm going to give you 3 points to think about. And I hope you will think about our lesson this morning. I hope you will think about your prayer life. I hope I think about my prayer life. I hope you will take some of those things that we said this morning, put them into practice. Develop your prayer life. But you remember the first part of that lesson? We talked about how God communicates with us. The other thing I want you to do, Lord willing, this week, is I want you to spend more time in the good news. Listen, we are always hearing the bad news. We are centered around the bad news. Turn on the TV. Turn on the radio. Look at the newspaper. Doesn't matter where you turn, it's there. Don't allow the world's news, the bad news, to affect you spiritually. Spend some time in the good news. And when you do that, you're going to be encouraged. In fact, I'm going to mention 3 things very quickly. When we spend some time in the good news, we will find that the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will arm us. It will arm us. Remember, we're at war, right? We're at war. But the war that we are fighting as the children of God is a spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse number 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." It's a spiritual warfare. Listen to the language of Ephesians chapter 6. And I believe Ephesians chapter 6 really helps us with the point that we're making here. The good news will arm us. Read with me, beginning at verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the devices of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Remember, it's not a carnal warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness." There it is. The war that we're engaged in. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is making war with the people of God. We learn in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, that we're to abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. Remember, we're at war, and God is encouraging us to arm ourselves. How are we to arm ourselves in the spiritual warfare? Do we do so with the spear? Do we do so with the bow? Do we do so with the shield? Do we do so with a rifle, with a knife? Now listen to what Paul says here in verse number 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor." You see, there is armor in the spiritual warfare that we are to clothe ourselves with, that we are to arm ourselves with, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, Paul says, verse 14, we begin to read about that armor in 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about," notice, "with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now you stop and think about that. Truth, righteousness. In John 17, verse 17, God's Word is truth. In Psalm 119, 172, all of God's commandments are righteousness. You arm yourself with the good news, the truth of God's Word, the commandments of God's Word. And Paul continues on in verse number 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the euangelion of peace." The gospel of peace, which is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1, verse number 16. And Paul says, "And above all, taking the shield of faith," Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, "wherewith you should be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." What is Paul saying here? What is the Holy Spirit revealing to us? Simply this. You arm yourself with the good news. You arm yourself with the Word of God as you fight the spiritual warfare, as you fight against your enemy. You hold up your sword, the Word of God. Just like Jesus did when He was tempted by the devil. You remember how He defeated temptation? It is written, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Do you see how powerful the good news is? I don't know about you, but when I hear news, I want to leave encouraged. I want to leave uplifted. I want to feel strengthened, and I want to be fortified I'm not going to get that from the world, but I can receive that from the Word of God. And that's why we should study the Word of God. That's why we should fill our lives with the Word of God and treasure the Word of God in our hearts. As David would say in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." We should fall in love with the Word of God. We should have a spiritual appetite of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Remember, that's how God communicates with us. And when we are allowing God to communicate with us through His Word, it helps with our relationship with God. We're close to God. We're drawing near to God. God's drawing near to us. What about the enemy? What's he doing? All you have to do is look at that context of James chapter 4 and listen to me. This is good news. When we're drawing near to God, you know what the devil is doing? He's fleeing. He's tucking his tail and he's running away. That's good news. That's encouraging news that we have more power than the devil. But sometimes we give him more power than he deserves because we might put our guard down. Because we become like the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 13. We see giants in the land and we have that grasshopper mentality, grasshopper faith. And we become small in our own eyes. And we find ourselves turning back in the day of battle like the sons of Ephraim. In Psalm 78, being the sons of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, and God was fighting their battles, and God is fighting our battles. If we will lean upon Him, if we will draw near to Him, the good news will help you arm yourselves against the wiles of the devil. Notice the second lesson that we learned from the good news. If you would, turn back to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul meets with the elders at Ephesus. And I would encourage you to begin at verse 17 and read all of this, his address that is, to the elders at Ephesus. I simply want to highlight one verse. In Acts 20, verse number 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the Word," notice the connection that we made earlier, "to the Word of His grace." I commend you to God and the Word of His grace, and I like this, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Do you see why God wants us to spend some time in His Word? Meditating upon the Word of God, Psalm 1 verse 1, day and night. Mulling it over in our minds because of the very nature of God's Word. It's designed to strengthen you. It's designed to build you up. If you feel yourself, spiritually speaking, growing weary, growing tired, having lack of a spiritual zeal in your life for spiritual activities, spiritual things, let me encourage you to just stop and think about the amount of time you spend in God's Word. And if you'll do that, you'll begin to see the source of the problem. How are we going to approach serving God with zeal, with enthusiasm, if we're not feeding our faith? If we're not feeding ourselves, spiritually speaking, again, the Word of God is our spiritual food, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's Word. Sometimes we are paralyzed, spiritually speaking, and we're not doing anything because we're not feeding ourselves, spiritually speaking. God wants us to be in His Word because it has the power to protect us. It has the ability to strengthen us, to fortify us, to build us up, to encourage us. We all struggle with discouragement. We all have times where we might be struggling with things that are going on in our life. The battle is in the mind. But we need to realize where we gain strength. We need to realize that God knows us better than ourselves. And He can strengthen us and He can encourage us. I promise you, if you will study God's Word and learn to study and invest in the Word of God, immerse yourself into it, you will find yourself being strengthened and uplifted in the midst of a world that is filled with negativism, filled with things that are always bad news. Remember, we're to let our light shine. We're to show people that there is a much better life, and it is the Christian life. Number three, another reason why God wants us to spend time hearing good news. Because the good news cheers us on. It cheers us on. Listen to what Jesus says here in John chapter 16. And we're simply making a connection on words here if you think about the verses that I've given you. Here in John chapter 16, verse number 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Now listen to it. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Don't be surprised when you see and hear what's going on in the world, that it's all bad. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." Why is there so much confusion and chaos in the world? Because of sin. Read Jeremiah 3 verse 25. "We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against God." As long as there is sin in the world, there is going to be ultimate chaos in the world. Listen to what he says. "Let not your heart be troubled. In the world you have tribulation." Listen to it. "But be of good cheer." Why? "I have overcome the world." You see, Christ makes all of the difference in the world. And if we're in Christ, doesn't matter what is going on in the world, we can be happy. I want to end our lesson tonight by considering the Apostle Paul. You think about a man that truly served the Lord. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verse number 24. He says in Acts 20, verse 24, "None of these things move me." What is Paul talking about? "None of these things move me"? Go back to verse number 23, "Bonds and afflictions." I guess we could say that's bad news for Paul, right? Bonds and afflictions. That's what was waiting for the Apostle Paul. And listen to what he says. "Those things, they don't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel." How was Paul going to live? With inward joy. The Scriptures have a way of cheering us on. Look at Acts chapter 26. Look at Acts chapter 26. First of all, look at Acts 21 verse 13. "What mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I'm not ready to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem." Again, when Paul listened to different people, and even what the Holy Spirit revealed to him, bonds, affliction, death. "But none of those things move me." But let me end by going over to Acts now 26 verse 2. As Paul makes his defense before King Agrippa, and I'll leave you with this tonight. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And he says these words, I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself." I heard Brother Dan Winkler preaching on this one time, and he broke down the original text, the original language, and he says the original language has this idea by the word happy. As Paul is making his defense before King Agrippa, he says, "King Agrippa, I came to the point in my life that I determined I am a happy individual. What made Paul happy? It was his life in Jesus Christ. Where do we learn that? In the good news that cheers us on, that encourages us, that builds us up, that can protect us from the evil one. I hope this week you will spend more time in the Word of God. I hope this week you will spend more time in prayer. If you will do those two things, I promise you, you'll have a great week this week. And you will find yourself being encouraged. You will find yourself being uplifted. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you with anything tonight, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand.